It's Thursday, April 13th.
Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News. Here's Jay Moran.
New York State will receive $112 million as part of a $462 million settlement with Juul Labs. New York Attorney General Letitia James said at a press conference Wednesday that Juul misled consumers about its products, mostly its vape pens.
The e-cigarette company falsely led consumers to believe that its vapes were safer than cigarettes and contained less nicotine. However, just one pod of Juul contains as much nicotine as a whole pack of cigarettes.
Part of the settlement places restrictions on how Juul markets and sells products to the public. A conversation with national author and anti-racism activist Dr. Ibram X. Kendi is one of the events planned for Buffalo's 514 Remembrance Weekend of Reflection, Healing, and Hope. On Wednesday, city officials released a partial schedule for the weekend, including a special moment of remembrance with church bells chiming at 2:28 p.m. on May 14th outside the Jefferson Avenue Tops, where 1 year ago, 10 people were killed and 3 others were wounded in a racist attack. Buffalo Toronto Public Media, owner and operator of WBFO, is joining Buffalo Public Schools to host an educational day of healing and restoration on Friday, May 12th. Tom Calderon, president and CEO of Buffalo Toronto Public Media, serves as a member of the 514 Remembrance Committee. The conversation with Dr. Kendi is part of a panel discussion in the first floor conference room at Roswell Park Comprehensive Center, planned for May 12th. The event is free and open to the public, though seating must be reserved. Disgraced Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein is back inside the New York State prison system after spending nearly 2 years in California, where he was tried and convicted of raping an Italian actor and model. Weinstein was also convicted in New York State on similar charges in 2020. Before his extradition to California, he was serving his New York sentence at the Wendy Correctional Facility in Alden. Now he'll be housed at the Mohawk Correctional Facility. In a statement from a Weinstein spokesperson, they said it was our expectation that he would have been returned to Wendy, where he was previously in protective custody and where all the doctors that treated his various serious medical ailments are located. And the University of Buffalo Jacobs School of Medicine and Biomedical Sciences will hold its 177th annual commencement on Friday, April 28th. Well, Governor Kathy Hochul this week chose a new nominee to be the next chief judge for New York State, and there's already controversy. This time, though, the issue is not whether the Senate will reject her choice to lead the Court of Appeals. We hear more now from WBFO Albany correspondent Karen DeWitt.
After Hochul's first pick, Hector LaSalle, was rejected by a Senate committee and voted down in a full floor vote earlier this year, the governor requested a new list of names from the state's Commission on Judicial Nomination. This time, she chose Rowan Wilson, an associate judge on the state's highest court, the Court of Appeals. Wilson is described by progressive groups as a champion of marginalized people in society. At his former law firm, he took over a pro bono case that for 40 years has fought inequality in hiring practices in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. Peter Martin, director of judicial accountability for the criminal justice group Center for Community Alternatives, opposed Hochul's selection of LaSalle, but his group backs Wilson, who Martin says will be a phenomenal chief judge.
We came to our determination more so based on what he's been like as a judge for the last 6 years, where his record has been quite consistent, really admirable and impressive, especially because it's often been in opposition to the majority of the court in these recent years.
Wilson often writes the dissenting opinion on an increasingly conservative court. That includes a dissent from the high court's rejection of congressional district lines drawn by Democrats. That decision led to a special master redrawing the lines, and in the 2022 elections, Republicans flipped 4 seats from Democrats. Martin sees Wilson's determination to stand up for his beliefs as a strength.
He's dissented many times, which shows both what he believes and how firmly he believes it, that he's willing to right dissents when necessary.
Wilson also has support of labor unions. They oppose the previous nominee. And unlike during LaSalle's nomination, no Senate Democrats have come out in opposition to Wilson. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Brad Hoylman-Siegel says while he won't say in advance how he might vote, he says he's already impressed with Wilson's record.
We've confirmed Judge Wilson once already. I think he's obviously a strong candidate. Based on that alone, we're going to review his record closely, but he's got a long record both on the court and in the private sector as a partner at one of New York's largest law firms.
While there may be more harmony with Hochul's choice this time around, the governor's decision to pick two names from the commission's list is sparking some controversy. She also chose Caitlin Halligan, a former prosecutor and New York State Solicitor General, now in private practice, to replace Wilson's associate judge slot on the court. Under the rules, though, the governor is allowed to pick just one name from each list of nominees. But the legislature, at Hochul's request, passed a law in late March that allowed her to choose two names. Government watchdog groups and Republicans who are in the minority party in the legislature say that could violate the state's constitution. Senate GOP leader Robert Ort spoke before Hochul announced her choices.
The law, I think itself, I do believe in talking to some attorneys, is unconstitutional. There may be other groups that also might be interested in bringing a lawsuit.
Democratic Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stork-Cousins says that perhaps the nomination commission should be eliminated altogether. It was created in the 1970s as a reform from the previous system and was intended to increase transparency and separate politics from the appointments. But Senate Democrats have not always been happy with the commission's lists.
Having a group of people submit, a limited number of people every time you are looking to fill a vacancy is no longer something we would like.
Any change to the process would require an amendment to the state's constitution, and that could not take effect until at least late 2025. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.